WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's Soul Music Week on Fresh Air. We're featuring interviews with soul singers, songwriters, session musicians, and producers. Al Green had a string of hits in the 70s, including Take Me to the River, Tired of Being Alone, Let's Stay Together, Call Me, and Love and Happiness. His ballads were about as great as soul singing gets.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah.
Like many of the performers we're hearing from this week, Al Green sang gospel before crossing over to soul music. But in the 70s, after having fallen prey to many of the temptations and problems that fame often brings, he was born again and returned to gospel. In 1976, after being ordained as a minister, Al Green bought a church in Memphis, the Full Gospel Tabernacle, where he continues to preach. Al Green has joined us twice on Fresh Air. We're going to hear excerpts of both interviews. He started performing at the age of 9 with his family's gospel group in rural Arkansas, where his father was a sharecropper. Last year, after the publication of Al Green's autobiography, we talked about his early years. Your father sang gospel music and traveled around. You had a brother group.
Right.
You and your brothers sang, did the whole gospel circuit.
Right.
When did you start getting serious about singing?
When I got put out of the house.
And why did you get put out of the house?
For listening to Jackie Wilson and Otis Redding and people like that. And Daddy wanted to keep the group gospel group. I mean, we need to sing gospel. You need to turn that off. And I'm going like, well, but I want to hear it. And I had a Elvis Presley album, and I had never been to Memphis. I'm 14 years old, and I have all these Love Me Tender and Teddy Bear and Jailhouse Rock and all this stuff. And I'm not saying because I'm from Memphis. I had never been to Memphis. I was in Michigan. And Dad says, that's a bunch of junk, man. You need to consider what you're doing. You're singing gospel music, and you need to consider singing gospel music. So I got this brand new album called Baby Workout by Jackie Wilson. And, oh, I just looked at the cover, and this guy had all these fine pictures on it, and I says, oh, I got to play it. So I went and I opened it up, and I put it on, and by the time Jackie Wilson said, oh, baby, move up, first step, Daddy come in the door and caught me. I said, oh, Lord. I got, so he went through third degree with me, and I was out of there. But I had a friend, luckily enough, lived right in back of us, named Lee Verges. And his father and his mom, his wife and himself, took me in. I had nowhere to go, really. And they took me in. But now this Lee Verges was a tenor singer in a group that Palmer James and Curtis Rogers had started, and they called themselves the Creations. And so they, we used to rehearse in the house every day, because we had nothing to do anyway. Every day we had rehearsal at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we would just get up, stand in a line and form and try to come up with little dances like we'd see the Temptations do on the TV. And that's right.
So what kind of material did you sing? with the Creations.
God, we sung everything that was on the radio.
Covers.
That's right. Dakota Bay, Wilson Pickett, James. I mean, we just sung a little group. We just sung anything.
The Reverend Al Green recorded last year talking about first hearing and singing rhythm and blues. We'll return to that interview a little later. In 1991, I spoke to Al Green before a concert in Philadelphia. I wanted to know if he was still singing soul songs or just performing gospel music. Are there songs of yours that you won't sing now?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Well, I can't sing some songs because I wrote them because of I Love You, Baby. Darling, I care for you. You know, I wrote them because of sensual love. I want to take you in my arms and sweep you off my feet, put you on a plane, go to a nice resort area with a cold bottle of champagne and kiss you. Mwah, 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 mwah. I wrote them because of that. And then, but now like Let's Stay Together, I wrote for couples because whether times are good or bad, happy or sad, whether we're right or wrong, forgiveness is in there. And we can always make up. That's always a lot of fun. And we can go on with our lives being what we're supposed to be.
Now, how do you feel when you hear your sensual secular songs on the radio?
I feel kind of funny, and then I kind of blush, you know, because I've spent so much time under the book now. And so when I hear some of those songs, I kind of blush, you know, and I go, did I actually say that? You know, here I am, come and take me. Well, I did it because of I was so flamboyant and I was so, kind of had an air of arrogancy, you know, and I sung it because here I am, come and take me. You understand? And you know how that is. And so I learned to be more humble, more giving, more loving, and more understanding, you know, and that, yeah. So it's a little different, but still strong.
Well, Al Green, I'm going to play Let's Stay Together.
Let's play that.
That's something you still sing, right?
I'm singing that tomorrow night.
Okay, here we go. My guest Al Green and his hit recording of Let's Stay Together. Do you remember how you met Willie Mitchell, who was the person who signed you to High Records and produced all the hits that you had with High?
Yeah, I remember how I met him.
How'd you meet him?
I met him in the country out in Midland, Texas, in Odessa, Texas, out there. I met him out there, and he asked me about going to Memphis to sing on a recording because he worked at a studio. And we were riding in the car that day, and I said, how long do you think it'll take me? I was so flamboyant. I don't understand how I did it. I was riding with this guy, and I says, how long will it take me to become a star? He says, and he swallowed and like choked, right? He says, a star? Well, about 2 years probably if you really work at it. I said, excuse me, let me out. I don't have any kind of time. He says, you're not serious. I said, I'm serious. I don't have 2 years to waste on practicing to become a star. I need some money now. And really, so he took me down to High. He says, this kid's going to be phenomenal. They says, how do you know that? He says, because he's got it in him. And so he borrowed $1,500 for me from the president of the company to get me a place to stay and all that, and says, I want to work with him because he's going to be phenomenal. Just watch.
Gee, it really pays to have chutzpah, huh?
I guess I just told him I wanted to be what I wanted to be.
The Reverend Al Green is my guest. More after a short break. This is Fresh Air. It's Soul Music Week on Fresh Air. Let's get back to our 1991 interview with Al Green. When we left off, he was talking about meeting Willie Mitchell, who produced many Al Green hits.
Now, the first song that he asked you to record was a cover of the Beatles' I Want to Hold Your Hand, right?
Would you believe that?
It really is hard to believe. Why did he choose that?
I have no idea.
What was your reaction to it?
My reaction was good. I thought it was a great song. It was a wonderful song, but it was for the Beatles. I sung I Want to Hold Your Hand. I sung Driving Wheel. We was trying to find Al Green. That's what we was trying to find. Who is this guy? Who is this guy with the high falsetto and the rough voice? And Willie says, I tell you what, don't sing with the rough voice. I said, well, what do you want me to do? He's cutting all these different songs about different people, just a lot of songs. He says, sing mellow. Don't sing hard. Sing mellow. And I just went out there and started singing, I'm so tired of being alone. And I'm so tired of on my own. Help me, girl, as soon as you can. And I looked in the studio mirror. They have this glass, right? And you're looking at the engineers. Yeah. And everybody was jumping up and jumping up and jumping up. And I says, well, I must be doing something right. So I just keep on saying, people say. And that's, I don't know how that started. That's the way it started.
Well, that was your song. It was a song you wrote. So you already had it written.
I said, after we got done cutting all these other people's songs, the Beatles and, and all these blues songs and the Temptations, I Can't Get Next to You and all these songs, I says, I got a song too. So Willie says, oh, please. Because he'd been cutting all day. We'd been cutting all day. It was 1 o'clock in the morning. I says, I got me a song and I wrote it on my own. So Willie told one of the guys, go out there and see what he got, would you please? I got to have a drink. Willie had a little shot of vodka or something. And after he went to feeling better, he says, all right, what we got out here? And it was this song, Tired of Being Alone. And I worked it up with the band. And I sung it and it became our first million seller.
Well, I'm going to play it.
Let's play it. Come on. Let's play it.
This is Al Green's first big hit, a song he wrote, Tired of Being Alone. That's Al Green, my guest today, singing Tired of Being Alone. I want to get back to a story you were telling before we heard that about, you know, how you had to sing the I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah.
It's your first song. How did you sing that? I mean, what voice did you use?
I don't know. I just kind of sang, hey, you got that something, da-da-da-da, I think I understand. When I feel that something, da-da-da-da, I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. Like that.
That sounds great.
I sung it in 71. That was 19 years ago.
Right. Right. So when you wrote Tired of Being Alone, were you alone? Were you tired of being alone?
Yeah, well, my girlfriend kept leaving me the key and leaving the apartment. And she would leave me a lot, and I says, well, how? It was snowing one night. It was snowing, and I had all the windows open because I was there by myself for hours on end. And I says, well, how can I
how can I do something with this? How can I make something out of this? And so I took a pencil and started writing it down. Because I was angry and I was writing, I'm tired of being alone, I'm tired of on my own. Then I wrote several other things. I scratched those out and I said, help me as soon as you can. And then I went to getting serious about it. People say that I found a way to make you say that you love me. Which is, I don't have to make you. If you really love me, you'd be here with me. And I was writing on that connotation. You didn't go for that. It's a natural fact. That, yeah, like that.
Had you written songs before?
Maybe one song before, that's all.
Oh, so this was something like newly discovered when you were recording this?
Yeah, everything was discovered at that time because we didn't have anything to... to no resources to kind of go back and say, I can do this or that.
One of the records that you made that was a cover of another recording was To Sir With Love.
Yeah.
And this had to be, like, when you saw the movie, you had to think of this as, like, a real corny song, right?
Yeah.
You had such a great version of it. Was it your idea to record the song?
I always wanted to record the song for years.
Why?
And I don't know. I heard this lady sing this song on a movie of something, some lady from England, and I heard that song. And I wanted to sing that song. And nobody was interested in letting me sing it. My producer says, come on, you don't want to sing it, sir, with love. They would always figure out a way how to cut me off, you know. Well, let's everybody break. You know what I mean? So we never cut to Sir With Love. So I says, when I got my own studio, you know, after I came to the point where I wanted to sing gospel, everybody in Los Angeles and in L.A. says that's a bad idea. Everybody in Memphis said, oh, God, he's not going to try something else. I said, but I've got to sing gospel. I'm born again, and there's a lot of good that can be done from singing gospel as well. I went to my studio in Memphis, set up a studio, had Bill Cantrell to put it together, and recorded The Lord Will Make a Way, and all those Highway to Heaven and all those songs on that same album in a makeshift studio. And that was the pivotal point in the Al Green career of things. But since then, I've come to know Al Green. I've come to know myself better. I've come to know.
So you recorded To Sir With Love during that session?
Mm-hmm. During that time period, during the next two albums there, yeah. I cut it because I want to cut it so bad.
I'm going to play it.
Let's play it.
This is To Sir With Love, sung by my guest, Al Green. The Reverend Al Green is my guest. There's a story about you that's kind of legendary in music lore. And I'm thinking of the story of the time a woman you were with poured hot grits or hot oatmeal or something
cream of wheat
on you while you were in the bath and scalded you and then took her life.
Yeah.
She killed herself afterwards. Is there a connection between that story and your being born again?
Nah, not whatsoever. People in journalism like to say that was the reason, but I was born again in 73,
this incident happened in 1974, so it really don't correlate, and they like to have it to be so that it correlates, but it doesn't. I was born again because they saw what I could be, not what I was. They knew what I was. I was a no good, woman hunting, champagne drinking, good time having, Saturday night, blues singing man.
Singer Al Green, recorded in 1991. Coming up, we'll hear how he was born again. This is Fresh Air. We're listening back to a pair of interviews with soul singer Al Green. He was ordained as a minister in 1976. During our conversation last year, he told me about the night he was born again in a California hotel room, during a time when his mind was on being a soul music star and all the perks that came with it. Were you surprised when you had your born-again experience?
Oh, my God, yes. I was at a party. I was in San Francisco. I mean, I played the Cow Palace. I had my little diamond on, you know, and I called and had my girlfriend to fly out from Detroit. I'll take care of the ticket, you know. Oh, I was tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-tippy-toe. Oh, I was in, oh, honey, I was gone, you know. So Disney sent their plane up and picked us up in San Francisco, flew us down to Anaheim to do the 12 o'clock show that night, right? And we did the show, me and the band on, having a little champagne and, you know, the girls all on the plane and, you know, we just having fun and talking and chilling, you know? So my girlfriend came, and so after the show, the second show that night, I was kind of tired. I said, babe, I said, I am zonked. I says, I'll just see you in the morning. She said, well, after that flight, oh, man, it's about 3 or 4 hours, 5 hours or whatever it was. She said, I'm tired, too. I'll see you in the morning. I said, okay, great. Well, I'll see you in the morning. Mwah, bye-bye. And, you know, she went that way inside the suite and closed the door, and I went that way inside the suite and closed the door. Now, between that time, which is about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, to 4:30 in the morning, this guy's born again here. And I've never been the same since that very day. I've never been the same.
You have your own church now. You've had that church for how many
22
years?
22 years.
Do you often think, like, who would you have been, what would you have been doing if it wasn't for being born again and if it wasn't for your church? Like, what life would you be leading? Would you even be alive?
That's a good question right there. Man, that's a good question because there's so many of my friends that started when I started. Even in Philadelphia here and all around the country, Detroit and different other places. I don't know what I could have been, but I don't want to get caught up in all of that drug inducement, hallucination, Donnie Hathaway, so many of us that started at the same time. Oh, there's such a tragic aura around great success. Sam Cooke, all these people. There's such a, and I was afraid. Otis in the plane. I would be afraid to take a chance like that. I would rather hold on to the Lord and make Him and let Him be the master of my life than me trying to do what we were doing coming from the Cow Palace down to Disney because, you know, I mean, my intentions was just to have a party. That's all I was thinking about. Now, this born again, waking up out of my sleep, you know, with the amen and the hallelujah and the thank you, Jesus, and the overflowing. And my dad came out, and he was across the hall, and he says, what's wrong with you, boy? And so he grabbed me by the shoulder, what's wrong with you? And I said, look at my hands. Look at my hands. And I'm crying. And he says, what's wrong with you? And I said, look at my hands. I mean, would you look at my hands? And he says, what's wrong with your hands? I said, look at my feet, look at my feet, look at my feet. And he says, so he turned right then and kind of like caught himself and turned. And he himself went to say, thank you, Lord. That boy has been saved. Thank you, Lord.
Al Green, I really wish we had more time, but we have to let you go. It's been such a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
I'll go and sign books.
The Reverend Al Green recorded last year after the publication of his autobiography. He preaches at the Full Gospel Tabernacle in Memphis.